Welcome to All the Leads Cold Call Training, a special series recorded once a month for the Probate Mastermind podcast. These episodes feature agents, investors, and wholesalers from across the country role-playing their real estate cold calling scripts with coaches Chad Corbett and Bruce Hill. The role-play portions of the call are completely unedited, so listeners can experience how these calls would sound if they were real conversations. Be sure to join our Facebook group, All the Leads Mastermind, to find role-play partners and more. For previous episodes, visit alltheleads.com/podcast.
Welcome, amazing investors and agents nationwide. Today is Wednesday, December 2nd, 2020, and this is Role Play Podcast number 61. And I just want to give you all a quick shout out and a reminder. Bruce, Chad, and I are on all these calls. If you guys ever need any advanced help, Chad offers a weekly mastery call, which is incredible amount of content for a very low price. I think we're up to about 16 or 17 hours most months. And Bruce also offers, Bruce is a very experienced coach, not only in probate, but in really all aspects of real estate, both as an investor and a realtor. So feel free to take advantage of that. Just reach out to us, support@alltheleads.com, or you can contact either one of them directly on our website and take advantage of everything we have to offer. Also, if you're a subscriber, you are entitled to a free coaching call from Bruce, so make sure you reach out for that also. So I just thought I would start with that commercial, and we only have two people in the queue, guys. Don't be bashful. Hit *6 and hit 1. Bruce, Chad, anything you want to say before we get started?
No, I'm good. I'm ready to get going.
Chad, anything you want to add?
So Mastery has been scheduled. I wasn't able to get the November class, so for anyone who's waiting on me, I'm sorry. But Probate Mastery, the last live class that will be taught, Mastery is actually going to, it's getting turned into a master class finally. So this is the last chance to take the course for $250. It'll be taught Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's the 7th, 8th, 9th, I believe, from 3 p.m. Eastern until we're finished. And as Jim said, they seem to be getting longer and longer. So it's about 7 hours of actual instruction, and usually about 9 hours of kind of freestyle coaching and Q&A. So, and that comes with a national certification. So if you're interested in becoming a CPE and you sign up for this class, whenever we do have the new full masterclass version, you'll actually have access to that member website because you're an alumni. So it's some things are changing just to provide a higher level of service and education to you guys going into the new year. So this will be the last traditional mastery, and then we'll move toward the new platform.
And just to warn you all, when Chad said, till we're finished, Chad only sleeps 3 hours a night. So you guys be ready. The good news is it's recorded, and you can always re-listen to it over and over again. All right, well, let's go to our first caller this week. Is phone number ending in 3040. You're up first.
Hi, good afternoon. I just to let you know, I just recently looked at the video regarding talking to attorneys, and I happened to run into a lady who her daughter was a probate attorney. So I ended up making an appointment with her, and we had a discussion. So I did get one attorney to work with me. So that's good. So thank you for the video. Okay, my question is that I send letters out to my client, the first letter. And now I try to get a hold of them. And you've heard this from me before, but most of the time they don't pick up the phone. My question is, when they do pick up the phone and I kind of, you know, give them my spiel, I think I'm lacking in trying to close because it is the first contact. And I feel that maybe I shouldn't be closing at that time, I guess in the back of my mind, because they don't have that letter of testamentary. So can you give me some guidance on how I'm
are you in
Texas?
And is there a backlog? Is there a backlog in your court system? Is that why they usually don't have the letters? Because normally it's very rare, and you know, pre-COVID especially, but it's very rare that we make contact with them and they're not confirmed. They don't have the authority in most cases. So I want to make sure that your assumption is based on reality. Like, are you seeing that they actually don't have it, or is that an assumption?
I really don't see that they're having it the first month. What I'm seeing is that they may have next month, but there was a big backlog this summer because we were waiting 4 months before they got a letter of testamentary.
Right, yeah.
So that's kind of changed just recently in September, and it's just getting faster and faster.
Okay. So I would still challenge you to just, you know, find a way. Like, don't be hesitant to call because you don't have a reason to go over there and build a relationship with these people. I don't want you to have that mindset, because if your mindset is, I'm going to find a way to help these people with whatever I can right now, and maybe that's property preservation, maybe that's property maintenance, maybe that's staging and sorting through the personal okay. property to arrange for a sale. There's a lot of things that you can do proactively to really shorten yeah. that cycle. So that's the mindset I want you to have when you pick up the phone, is I will find a way and reasons to meet them face to face. And then you'll know when to close. But it sounded like you wanted to kind of go through your, as you called it, your spiel. So if you want to role play that, would you rather do it with me, Bruce, or Jim?
Well, let me get my paperwork. It doesn't make any difference who I do it with. So.
Well, you better do it with Bruce if you're using the script, because I'll get my ruler out.
I have it written down. So I have many, many pages of what I want to say. I keep changing it all the time. So, okay, if you're ready, I'll go ahead and.
I'm ready, and I'll give you a little bit of back and forth. I won't be too hard on you, but I'll give you a little bit of back and forth just to give
okay.
you something to handle. So go ahead and start with a ring ring.
So I say, hi, my name is Kathy, and the reason I'm calling you is because I've been sending you letters regarding the probate case that you filed recently. You may remember receiving them, you may not. Well, let me explain what I'm calling about. I am a certified probate real estate specialist, and I have received some additional training in probate procedures and knows how a court confirmation process probate sale works. Having helped many executors like yourself, I understand that managing the details of an estate for a family member or friend who passed on can be a challenging responsibility. I will be with you every step of the way, helping you with the sale of your loved one's property, which means I will help you select the best providers that can help you get the personal property sorted, handyman tasks, estate liquidators, etc., all the way to closing the property. So tell me, have you had a chance to go through the property yet? And then they'll answer. And
they hung up 90 seconds ago.
Yep. It's like a paragraph. Yep.
So here's what I want you to do. And I want to hear this on, like, hold it up to the microphone, crumble that up and throw it on the floor.
Oh, really? I'm on a carpet floor. You won't hear it.
Okay. As long as it's out of your reach. If you stood
right.
face to face, I don't believe
yeah.
that you think you would never do that face to face, would you?
No.
Right. So
okay.
this is about being you. You know all the points. Like, as far as a written statement, it was excellent, but it's not going to serve you on the phone. So now call
okay.
Bruce and let those points come out in an organic conversation. The one thing that you shut him out for 90 seconds or more, and that's
yeah.
the opposite of engagement. You have to get
okay.
to engagement quickly. You have maybe a 10 to 20 second window to create so much
okay.
curiosity, they can't wait to hear what you have to say next. So take a deep breath. Think about what your most pertinent point is and a good question you can ask him within the first 10 seconds, and call him again.
And before you do that, I want you to give me a summary. If I ask you, we're meeting just in the grocery store, and I say, what do you do with regard to probate? Give me a 10-word summary of what you do.
Okay. Well, I help people going through probate to get organized with things that need to be done. There are certain steps that you must follow according to the court, and I know those steps. And the biggest problem is the personal property getting sorted through. So are you
okay.
looking for someone that is working in probate?
Maybe. I don't know why. Well, no, don't say no. Let them talk. I don't know why. I don't know what I don't know. So we just started the process recently.
Okay. Well, tell me, what are some of the issues you may be looking at?
Oh, well, we just started, and we've got to get over and
yeah.
get the windows. One of the windows is rotten, and just kind of start cleaning up the
okay.
property. But honestly, most of it's just doing this bank account stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, there are some steps that you can do now. You may not be aware of it. The biggest thing is you need to, first of all, change the locks of the property. You have no idea how many homes have been broken into, or they have found squatters in the home.
Uh-huh.
So you do want to avoid that. And the other thing you can do is that you need to contact your homeowner's insurance to find out if they are going to cover a vacant home, because most of them do not cover vacant homes. Okay. And heaven forbid that something does happen and then you can't get coverage. Now, if you don't have an outlet for that, I do have a resource that someone I could refer you to that does can handle a vacant home. Is that something you may be looking into?
Maybe, but I think our insurance probably has vacant. I think we're covered.
Yeah, but if I were you, I would just make the call anyway. I mean, you don't want something to happen to home and then not be covered, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Definitely want to be covered.
Okay. And if you need any help, let me know. The other thing that you could be doing right now is that you need to go in and just see what personal property there is, okay? Just you as executor. You also want to find out, are there any valuables in the home that maybe need to be appraised and set those aside? You need to go ahead and, of course, you know, find the paperwork, the will, also debts that the decedent had, insurance policies.
Yeah, our attorney told us to get all that. Are you
okay.
A lawyer?
No, I'm not. But I do everything which is non-legal. The attorney does all the legal stuff. I do all the tasks, which is a pretty long list of non-legal items. And that's basically getting the house cleaned out, get the items distributed to the beneficiaries and closing.
How much do you charge for that?
Well, bottom line is, upfront, my services are free. And I would think at the end, you do have a real property that you may be selling it, and that's the way I get paid. So is that something maybe you're looking at?
To sell? We haven't decided yet. It's pretty early. I got to talk to my brother and sister about that before we decide.
Right. And most of the executors do have to do that. So, okay, well, what I could do is, you know, I could come over and we could look at the property and maybe give you some guidelines as to what steps to take in order to get probate rolling. I do have some time on Wednesday at, let's say, 5 o'clock. We could meet at the property. Would that be good?
This week's kind of bad. I don't open up again for a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay. All right. You want to meet in 3 weeks on a Thursday?
Yeah, that should work. So
okay.
Maybe the 17th?
That would be great. 5 o'clock at the home.
And what are we meeting for?
I'm going to come over. I'll look at the property. I'm going to see, kind of review what is in the home, and I'm going to sit down with you and work out a plan of what things you need to do.
Okay. All right. That'd be helpful. Okay.
Thank you very much, and I'll see you in 3 weeks, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Goodbye.
So I was very critical of your script. I want to say that it was natural, and you have good tone, but you missed several opportunities, several slow pitches, and you actually created the setup. You created the setup for most of them, but you didn't close the loop on it. You stirred up fear about securing the asset, changing the locks, but you didn't directly offer a solution. You stirred up fear about the insurance, and you kept him engaged, but you didn't directly offer a solution. You were wishy-washy and left them wide open to procrastinate and have full exposure on the most valuable asset in the estate.
Okay.
So I want you to go back and listen to your recording and watch how you set up and then you didn't close on your own setups. And they're just little tactics that you're using. But had you done that, he would not have deferred the appointment 3 weeks because you would have a clear reason to reconnect with him in the next 1 hour to make sure that the vacant insurance policy was in effect. You would have had a reason to be there this afternoon with the contractor to change the locks and post a no trespassing sign. And at that point, you could look through the personal property. So just listen to your conversation and all the stuff. You had so many reasons to get to that face-to-face appointment today or tomorrow. And but your language is good. Your tone is good. It's obvious that you care about them. I don't think you're 100% clear on all the things you can do to help. So think about it. Like, I would encourage you to make a list, two columns.
Okay.
One, what problem do they have? Two, what solution can I provide? And one problem is the house is exposed to squatters or vandalism. Another is the house does not have the proper insurance. You know, the yard it needs mowed, but it's not being mowed or anything like that. The house needs winterized is a good one right now. And just that exercise will force you to really think about empathetically all of the problems that you could uncover in this conversation. And it will also force you to know, like, specifically what your action item is when somebody has that problem. And I don't think you're 100% clear on your action item, on exactly what you deliver. For example, the insurance, instead of saying, well, you know, call your insurance guy, and if he can't do it, just let me know. they're unlikely to ever call back. You can say something like, well, listen, you can talk to your insurance guy. At the same time, if it's okay with you, I'd like to pull the tax card and send it to a person I know that underwrites vacant insurance, and they should be calling you within the next 60 minutes to give you a quote to make sure that the asset's covered. Would that be okay?
Okay,
now you created, you gave them value, but more importantly, you created a solid reason for them to answer your next phone call. And that's a little, but if you can't close on an appointment, you have a reason to re-engage with them. So just, I would encourage you to do that exercise. What all problems could they have? What specific solutions and action do I take when I uncover this particular problem? And I think that will really get you clear on how you can close some of your own setups that you're missing right now.
Okay. I think that's my problem. I don't know what to say to close, but I like what you said about, you know, I know someone, how about I call and they pass on your information? That's great. What do I say about squatters? Because you said that.
Well, yeah. So you stirred up the fear and you got Bruce thinking about it. Holy crap. What if she's right? But you didn't offer a solution. You just moved on. And you could have said, well, you know, listen, that's a real concern. And Bruce affirmed. He's like, yeah, I've heard of that. I think he affirmed that. And you could say, well, listen, what we do to protect every family we can is, at a very minimum, we try to get over there and post a no trespassing sign and the state statute for no trespassing underneath of it, just for safe measure. Also, if you would like, we can change the locks and make sure family members get keys in the mail. So is that something, do you want to just do the posting, or would you like us to do the posting and change the locks this afternoon? And it's an assumptive close. I'm not asking. I'm saying you need to do this. Your attorney did not address this with you, but I am. And I'm acting in your best interest as your potential fiduciary. This is what I need to do to help you to protect these assets. So I'm assuming there's no is not a possible answer for me. Now, I might get a no, and I can deal with that. But from a mindset standpoint, I'm assuming that I'm going to that house in the next 24 hours.
Okay. Well, I do know about changing locks because I've had this issue before, that the company that I call, they don't want a realtor to call. They want the person that's in charge to call. And then do they know there's going to be a fee to this? Usually it's at least $200.
Well, I would first find a different company. Find a Class C contractor. Oh. And go cut a deal with him and say, listen, I'd like to have a package where you rekey houses for me. Can you do this for $75 and I'll use you exclusively and use these lock sets from Home Depot or Lowe's. This item, here's the SKU number. And then write up a simple document that you can throw into a DocuSign. And when you have this conversation with the seller, just say, listen, I'm going to send you a DocuSign just in case the police come and we're there, you know, changing locks. And I like to have something signed. And that document is going to say, for a fee of $75 in the next 48 hours, I give you permission to access the property, drill the locks if necessary, replace those, and mail the keys to this address. Or check a box, and you can put a lock box on the property with the key, all keys inside the lockbox. Send them a DocuSign. It takes 20 seconds. That way, when you call the contractor, you say, here's basically your order. Here's the property address. Here's what you do with the lockbox, or here's where you mail the keys. Please let me know when it's done. Send photos. And that, like, little simple things like that, where you take immediate action and solve the problem on the spot, make a massive difference in how people perceive you.
Yeah, I had a comment, huge improvement from basically reading them, you know, your letter to having a conversation. I heard one thing, and I'm probably the only one on the call that heard this, but I would lose the phrase non-legal. It kind of sounded to me like, it kind of sounded like somebody could perceive that. It sort of sounded like you were saying, everything I do is illegal. It's kind of like the attorney does everything legal and I take care of all the illegal stuff. And that's really picky. I know that's not what you said, but I would say something like, the attorney takes care of all the legal aspects and I can pretty much help you with anything else. You know,
or I can help you with anything that is surrounding the real estate.
Right. Perfect.
Okay.
Other than that, though, your language is great. Yeah, mm-hmm. Very good.
So here's what I want. Going all the way back to the beginning in your introduction, in your greeting, as Chad mentioned, you want that greeting to be like 20 seconds or less. And I'd kind of pushed you at the start of our second our second call, I pushed you to summarize what you do in about 10 words or less. So something like, hey, this is Bruce and I'm calling because I help families go through the probate process. I do that in this way, and this way. So you lay out two or three categories of things that you do. Instead of going through your list of 1,000 things, which you did not do, some people do, you lump them into categories: real estate, repairs, maintenance, personal property, and then you open it up. What's your process been like so far? And that way you're summarizing it, you're saying in 7 words, I help families go through probate. I do that by this, this, and this, and then turn the conversation over to them.
Okay. All right. I will try it then.
All right, awesome. Kind of the old elevator pitch. You're getting on the ground floor of an elevator, and the other guy's getting off on the second floor. What can you tell him before he gets off?
Bye.
All right, great job. Thank you for volunteering. We have 2 more in the queue. Next up is a frequent flyer ending in 8213. You're up next, sir.
Hello, hello. How's everyone doing?
Doing great, buddy. How about you?
Excellent. Thank you. So I have a question about the leads. And then a question about the scripting or role play. So I don't know why, but my November leads, a very large number of them, the numbers are often just disconnected for various ones. Sometimes I can go, for example, let's say there's 90 leads and I could go 10 leads in a row and the number doesn't work. I don't know if maybe it's either a glitch or maybe people disconnected their number. Or maybe it's a landline. I don't know. I wanted to get your 2 cents on that.
The numbers? Are you saying on 10 leads, like all of the numbers for each of those 10 or just the first number for the 10?
So for the ones that it happened, that specific lead often only has one number associated to it. And then so that one's disconnected. So then I'll move to the next lead and then the same thing happens and then so on for a good amount. Sometimes it's 4 in a row, then I get 1 or 2 that are good, and then I get 5 or 6 more in a row that are disconnected. So I don't know if maybe it's a glitch. Just trying to.
That that's ever happened to you?
I think this is the only month that I was as consistent. So maybe that's the only month that I actually noticed. But yes, to answer your question, yes.
Okay. And have you noted them in the database? Like, have you used a short tag, short code or anything to note which ones were bad?
Yeah, I usually put it in, I always save notes after when I do my calls. I always put a note about what happened, which numbers are disconnected, which aren't. And if I speak to whoever I spoke to, what was said and done, that way I know what to say when I follow up.
Could you export the list and just add a column beside of the phone numbers and put in like a, you know, indicate which ones you hit that problem with? And we can have our data team take a look at it. It's unusual that would happen. If you know which ones they are, that will really help us dig into it and understand what's happening and fix it if it's not just an outlier month.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I'll definitely do that. Okay. I'll do that. Thank you. Regarding new leads, right? So I saw that the new leads arrived, I think it was yesterday or the day before. Regarding that and timing of when to call, when we receive the leads, is that also the day, give or take, that the PR received the letter? Or should we maybe wait maybe a few days after we receive the leads in our portal before making the call so that we can make sure that the letter was actually received? Does that make sense?
It does. And the answer is different for everybody. I mean, if you want to make sure your call comes in after the letter, you can assume that the day your leads hit your my probate. If you're on autopilot, that will also trigger the first letter, the first round of your marketing sequence. So you've got 3 to 5 days, depending on which day that happens on. If it happens on a Friday, it's obviously going to be longer, or could be longer. But you know, you've got 3 business days. You're pretty safe if you're on autopilot. We actually send you a copy of your own letters, so you actually know when they arrive in your market. So that's just the fail safe. Like, you know know for sure that everyone else must have gotten them that day because you did too.
Got it.
I think the Postal Service is, you know, they're doing all they can to keep up right now. I literally have people showing up in civilian vehicles delivering mail now.
Oh, wow.
They're a little overwhelmed with e-commerce, I think. But FedEx is now using U-Hauls here. But so it could be a little longer, but the safest bet is to just, when you get a copy of your own letter, you know that it's, that everyone has gotten it and you can make phone calls. Now, that said, a lot of folks hit the phones before the letters even drop, and they're aggressively, you know, making calls and getting out there before. We find that it usually, the letter warms up your phone call because it's very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, I remember your letter. It was the only one that didn't say we buy houses or, you know, we're the best damn realtor in the world. It actually, you know, stands out. So it can warm your phone call, but you're getting pretty strong on the phones, man. Like, we had the Fed show last month. I would encourage you to try calling before the letter shows up and just see. If you don't get resistance, if you're breaking through, it doesn't matter. Go ahead and call earlier.
Fair enough. Valid point. I appreciate that. Okay. So now onto scripting, right? So two things that I encountered in the last couple of days with calls are, one of them was, so when I speak with the person and I ask if they recall receiving my letter and all that stuff, and just to kind of warm them up, and they're always very nice. One of the things that I had a caller tell me yesterday is, okay, sorry. When I do the introduction, I say, do you recall receiving my letter? They say yes, what it's about. Then I tell them briefly for 5 seconds what it is that I do. And then I just tell them, I see that you're working with so-and-so, aka the attorney, right? Just to make them feel comfortable, you know, because I let them know I got your number from the probate court and all that stuff. And I see that you're working with, you know, Mr. Corbett. It's very good that you have an attorney, all that stuff. Just so that they kind of see I'm not just someone calling, because I see they're really suspicious. So the gentleman responded to me, said, all right, he said, I'm handling everything else myself, so I don't need any of your services. I wasn't sure where to go with that aside from just, you know, is it okay if I check back in with you in about a week or so just to see if you're still handling everything okay?
But that's an okay
response. Maybe that's the right approach.
A better one is have him identify, like, because he doesn't know what he doesn't know. And most people underestimate just how challenging this is. And there's so many little moving pieces and responsibilities they have to do. It's easy for folks to get overwhelmed. So in the beginning, they underestimate what needs to be done. And they're like, all right, this is no big deal. I just have to open a bank account, pay the bills, sell everything. Who can't do that? But they're not accounting for all of the inefficiencies in the process and all the parties involved. And there's a reason attorneys, this is such a big business for attorneys, because they've been the ones that quarterback this for years. And they don't do the best job they could either. That's what leaves a massive opportunity for us to step in there, right? So knowing you knowing that, him not knowing, don't challenge him and say, you're ignorant, you don't know what you're talking about, you know, you do need my help. You can say something like, hey, listen, I understand. I mean, I would say probably 9 out of 10 families that we end up helping say the same thing in the beginning. And you don't have to be embarrassed. If you find yourself overwhelmed, just pick up the phone and call. We'll be here. And otherwise, I'll check in with you every couple of weeks just to make sure. Would that be okay? And like, help him understand, set an expectation that your ego doesn't have to keep you from calling me back. If you do find that you're overwhelmed, you don't have to be embarrassed. I see it happen literally every week. I see this happen, and we step right in and we take over and are, you know, and do what we need to do. But paint that picture that there's a good chance you got a lot to learn here, and there's a good chance you're going to need help, and I'll be here waiting when you need it. So you can put your own language to that and get your version, but I would, you know, assertively and assumptively, you know, assume that he's going to need help in the future, and plant that seed and get permission to follow up. And truly, 9 out of 10 of them will find something that they would rather you deal with than deal with themselves. But regardless of how small those are, any reason to have a follow-up call, any reason for them to answer a follow-up call is a great reason, right? So I don't care if you need to rehome a pet, you know, get a cat adopted. That's a great reason to show up in person and create a real relationship. So a lot of folks, like, they do underestimate what it's going to take, and they do procrastinate for the first month or two or three, and then the pressure sets in on them and the embarrassment sets in. And a lot of times they won't call people back who they've shut down because they feel embarrassed to do that. So just create a safe space for you to call him or him to call you and say, listen, you don't ever have to be embarrassed. I get it. I hope that you can do this on your own and it's as simple as you're thinking. But I have seen a lot of families underestimate it, and we've always got your back.
Yeah, I appreciate that. After we hung up, I actually called him back a few moments later just to say, hey, this is often overlooked and actually accidentally forgotten by the attorney. I understand you have everything covered. I just want to make sure that if there is a property in the estate, that you go ahead and call your insurance specialist to make sure that there's a vacant home insurance policy. So I just told him that just to kind of, again, not feel threatening or like I'm telling him what to do, but just to kind of at least show him that there is care over there. So that, and then to piggyback on something you were saying, the next call that I had was a lady who told me that her attorney dropped them. She's the PR. And she said, the attorney just disappeared and won't take the case there. So I'm now handling everything by myself. And I said, well, she asked me if I was an attorney. I said, look, I personally am not. We mainly help with everything, all the legal, everything, all the aspects of the probate that are not legal. That's what an attorney can do. We do work with several attorneys, so I'd be more than happy to guide you in the right direction, whether it be attorney or any type of service such as clean out, repair, if there's any real estate. She did tell me there's no real estate, but then she asked me what are the fees for the attorneys and the people that work with you? I had no idea what to answer. So I just told her, I'm not sure, but I'd be more than happy to put you in touch, at least give you some references. Is that a common question? The what is their fee?
Eventually.
No.
And not at first.
Yeah, eventually. Usually this is the fee. And just so you know, Fed, it depends on the complexity of the estate and the value of the estate. But on average, it's 4-7% of the gross value is where most legal fee, the administration costs come in. So it's a significant number.
Okay.
I want to challenge you to have a better response to that question when she says, you know, are you an attorney or do you have one? Instead of you had a kind of a wordy answer, and you can gain more credibility by saying, oh no, I'm way smarter than that. I've got one on my team.
Oh, I love that.
And you shorten it down. You're still covering the base, but you're not, it's way less wordy, and they get the point. Holy crap. Mm-hmm. This guy has everybody on the team. So again, we're painting the picture of a vertically integrated solution. One phone call, everything dealt with. So you want to keep that image up, because it will keep them engaged with you. And if they need a painter, they're going to call you. If they need to rehome a cat, they're going to call you. It's whatever it could be. Paint the picture that there's this giant office building somewhere in Texas and you and your whole team are in it. And people would actually ask me that. They're like, my God, you must take up a whole building. Where's your offices? And they really thought that all this was in one building. But be a little more confident about the attorney side of it, because you believe the attorney's one of your team members, right? The spoke in the wheel.
Sir.
So I'm not an attorney. I'm way smarter than that, but I am smart enough to have one on my team. Actually, we have several. And as far as cost, the cost is different for every family. It depends on the assets you have and the level of involvement. But I will say this. You dodged a bullet by finding one of the wrong attorneys. We have been very carefully selected the best attorneys in town that have a standard of service that matches ours. So I'm going to have a guy named Doug Jones call you in the next 60 minutes and make sure you're taken care of, because the attorney that bailed on you probably didn't tell you this, but you are acting as the sole fiduciary of an estate. If the house burns down, if somebody breaks in, if anything happens, guess whose liability that is? If someone else from the family disagrees with anything that happens, guess who they're going to sue? That's right.
Oh, wow.
So we need to retain counsel for you today. It's not necessary, but I certainly recommend it. Even though there's no real estate, it's something that I can do to help you right now, and just know that you're protected. And, you know, you still have a fiduciary responsibility to the estate, but that attorney is going to absorb the legal liability and make sure that no mistakes are made. And if they are, they'll be there to help you through those. So would it be okay if I have Doug give you a call here in the next hour? Okay, perfect. And again, just like we said with the last caller, like, be a little more assertive and hand them the solution on a silver platter. Take away the procrastination.
Yes, I thought of a kind of a funny, that. I thought of an alternative funny comment. Are you an attorney? Do I sound like an attorney? Geez, I'm not sure if that's a compliment or an insult. You'll find out how they feel about attorneys.
For sure.
Have fun with it.
Will do. Yeah, for sure. Thank you guys so much. Really.
Thank you, sir. We got three more in the queue. Next up is phone number ending in 9889.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Not much. This is actually my first call. I've got myself and my team here. So, quick question. You know, we're like 99% virtual. So I wanted to ask, how do you suggest we distinguish ourselves, considering that it's somewhat difficult to get to the property in person? How can we distinguish ourselves and set ourselves apart and kind of build that rapport on the initial call, as opposed to, you know, briefly telling them what we do and how we do it and getting out there to set an appointment?
Joel, you mean you're out of town or just working remotely?
We operate in a couple of different markets. Even in our own backyard, we rarely go out to a house until we get a contract first, even when it's a probate lead. So okay. Just trying to find a way to be a little more efficient over the phone as opposed to getting out there in person for every deal.
Sure. The answer is who? Who can do it for you? Because the getting there in person makes a big, big difference, and that it is what differentiates you, especially from other virtual wholesalers. So who can that be? A contractor makes a really good partner. Like, if you start with someone who's young in their business, like a Class C contractor can be a very good resource to take videos, photos, give you quotes, put lock boxes on, change locks. So that could be your ground guy in each of your markets. Realtors are also very good. If you probably already have realtors, they eventually make commissions. So a lot of times you don't have to pay them on a per house basis or a per appointment basis, but you could. You know, I mean, some realtors, frankly, aren't very good at what they do. They'll show houses for $20, and this is not that much different. You can look for a showing agent. And then, you know, obviously in the first couple, you want to build a stronger relationship over the phone and just say, hey, I've got an assistant that can come by and do this for you today. But eventually, if that's the right who, then you'll be able to train them to actually do the appointments on their own, and you could send an acquisition manager. You might turn that person into your acquisition manager.
Another person that I like to use is a local concierge who they normally sell their services in blocks of time. You could buy a block of time and then send them to look at the house and have them kind of go through and package a proposal of the extra services that either they as an independent contractor or you might want to help the person with to earn their business.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I mean, that's a great tip. What do you feel like, we have some difficulty with the onset of the call, right? Like building that rapport, building that curiosity, I guess you call it, like the first 10, 20 seconds of the call, especially if they just initiated the probate process as opposed to being, you know, a few weeks, few months in. Because we may be role playing, maybe, you know, the investor or whatever it may be and whatnot on the seller, potential seller. I just want to put together a better pitch for my team, if that makes sense.
Bruce, you want it or you want me to take it?
Go ahead and take it. I'm having a really, really hard time hearing.
Yeah, could you get, I think you're on speakerphone. Who's going to role play? Could you just get closer to the mic, please?
Yeah, sure. I'm right here.
Okay. Okay, so I'm outbounding. You're the prospect?
Yep.
Okay. And what was your name? Mike. Okay. Ring, ring. Hi, I'm trying to reach Mike Smith. Hey, Mike, my name's Chad Corbett. I sent you a letter a couple of days ago, but I had a few minutes in my office. I thought I'd follow up. We have a team here in Roanoke that help families going through probate. And as part of that, we go to the courthouse and meet with the clerk every 30 days or so. And we try to reach out to each of the families just to see if there's any way we can help. What's been something you guys could use help with? Have you found anything that would be challenging yet? Or is it pretty straightforward?
It's been pretty simple for us, but we're thinking about maybe selling our house.
Okay. And it looks like, I think you guys are working with John Doe, attorney, down on Fifth Avenue. Okay. Well, that's really good. And do you feel like he's done everything that you expected him to, or do you still have some blind spots?
Wow. So far, so good.
Okay. One of the things, and I actually don't know John Doe, we haven't met yet, so I'm not real familiar with his process and firm. One of the things we try to do, we see most attorneys overlook, is asset protection. You said that there's a house in the estate that usually represents about 80% of the value of the entire estate for most families. So the first thing we try to look at is that protected? So did the attorney help you set up? Is the property vacant?
Yeah, the property is vacant. Are you one of those home buying companies? Because I've been getting a lot of letters and postcards and calls, and you know these vultures just won't leave me alone.
Yeah, so we have real estate services because that's a big part of the estate process for most families, and most families do want to sell the assets. But what I want to focus on first is making sure those are protected, because if the attorney hasn't told you, you do have some legal liability and a fiduciary responsibility to preserve both real and personal property. So if you didn't transition the insurance policy to a vacant house policy, you have an uninsured asset. If you haven't properly posted the home and somebody gains access, you can't evict them and they're stuck in there for months at this point. So if it's okay with you, we have a process that we'd like to work through one step at a time to make sure you're protected. And we kind of pick up the pieces and do what the attorneys don't usually. So would you like to get that, make sure the home's protected? Mike, are you there?
Yeah.
I'll break for a second. I didn't hear your response. There was some microphone noise if you responded.
I think we lost him. You still there, Mike? All right. I'm going to move on to the next person, I guess, Chad.
Well, Mike, I'll just show where I was going. So because he showed me apprehension to investors and he told me he's a virtual wholesaler, I was easing my way in by vastly differentiating myself, and I was deferring the answer until I could get there face to face and prove to him that I was ethical and acting in his best interest, and then feel out the level of motivation. If they're super, super motivated, then I'll make him an offer right there on the spot, and there's a contract in my truck at all times. If they're not that motivated, then I'm going to walk it back a little, and I'm going to hand it to my brokerage partner if I don't have that in-house. But what I was doing was staying away from a very raw subject for them. You were showing me that you're perceiving me as just another guy that's trying to take advantage of you. So in that scenario, I'm going to stay the hell away from the real estate conversation. All I need to know and all I care about is there is real estate. Now, I know statistically there's about a 90% chance you're going to sell that real estate. So now my only focus is how do I get face to face to let him know that I'm different than all the other people he's judging me against. So that's where I was going with it. I would show up to change locks. I would show up to, you know, I would get my insurance guy to bind a vacant policy on it and follow up to make sure that was done. I would get over there for any reason I could. That's where I was headed with it.
Perfect. And the next one in the queue appears to be Michael also, 6231. Is that the same Michael or a different one?
Completely different.
Okay. Well, Michael number two, what can we do for you, sir?
So I would like to step in. I do have some questions, but I wanted to step in the other Michael's role. I want
sure.
to kind of put back into that situation because this is pretty interesting what you're saying. As I was listening to you, I was thinking that, hey, if this was me, I'd probably say a few things, and I'd like to see how you would respond, if that's okay.
You want to play the prospect?
Well, I don't necessarily do. I just want to kind of throw you out. Here's what I'm hearing, and how would you go about this? So first thing is, I would have been saying, hey, you know, you're here's what I got. I didn't hear enough of the, hey, you know, we can help with, you know, if you need a funeral home, we can help with, you know, you need a dumpster, we can help. I would have wanted to hear a lot more what's in it for them rather than, you know, because you'll get some people like, hey, you know, you're asking me too many questions and your time's up, you're done. I would have liked to have seen you say enough of.
Let's go. No, let's start at the beginning. So I don't always explain everything that I'm doing, but I was reading his energy and his perception of the other people he'd spoken to. So I was slow walking it. So I'm not going to barf all of my services on over him when he's staying engaged in the conversation. And he allowed me to defer the answer that he was looking for, and that is engagement. Like, he stayed with me. So I'm happy to, well, let's just start a fresh one. Do you want to come at this from an investor, a brokerage, or both?
Geez, I don't know. And I think another big part of it is, you know, modeling. I'm in New Jersey, so everything's a million miles a minute as opposed to somewhere else. Right. So there's no slow walk in anything in New Jersey. You're like, you got 2 seconds. Otherwise, that person's hanging up.
I've worked with a lot of folks in Jersey.
You know,
it's understanding human. You want to be right or you want to learn?
I know you speak. You're the teacher.
See, you're from Jersey, and I just stopped you in your tracks. There's things that we do, understanding human behavior and how the brain works, there's things that you can do to influence people's behavior. And when you hear me using my West Virginia farm voice and I slow people down, it's intentional most of the time. So I've worked with a lot of folks from Jersey and New York and different places. So I'm challenging you to kind of shift your mindset a little and say, maybe I can influence people. Maybe I can make them go through the maze the way that gets me a consistent result. And don't let the tail wag the dog. So let's jump into it and we'll see.
Sure, go ahead.
Ring, ring.
Hello.
Hi, I'm trying to reach Mike Smith.
Yes, you got him.
Sorry, your microphone was a little muffled. This is Mike Smith?
Yes, hey, how are you? How can I help you?
I'm good, Mike. Thanks for asking. Hey, my name's Chad Corbett. My name might sound familiar. I'd sent you a letter last week, but I had a couple minutes before an appointment, so I just thought I'd call and follow up. I'm calling because we've got a team right here in Jersey that helps families going through probate. And as part of that, we meet with the clerk once a month, and she lets us know who we should be reaching out to. And I notice you guys are one of those families. I see you're working with Attorney John Doe. And I just wanted to call and see if let you know we're here in the community and see if there's anything we might be able to help you with.
Yeah, hey, thanks. We got a whole bunch of letters. Quite honestly, my wife, you know, we threw them all in the garbage the other day, and I was kind of just letting the attorney handle everything, and we got a, you know, realtor coming over in a couple of days, and yeah, it's a little overwhelming for us.
Yeah, I understand completely. That's kind of why we do what we do. Is this the first time you've ever been an administrator?
Yeah.
Do you hope it's the last?
What do you think?
I think based on everyone we've worked with, I've never met anyone who ever wanted to do it again. And that's however I might be able to help you. One of the things that we do for every family is make sure they have a proper plan in place after this so you never have to go through this again. Do you guys have a living trust established?
Yeah, but honestly, that's a question I would be speaking with my attorney about. You know, are you an attorney? Because I already have one.
I'm way smarter than that. I would never go to law school. We have attorneys on our team, but we also work with most of the attorneys in the county. John Doe, we have actually done a couple of transactions together. I'm sure he would be happy to share his opinion of who we are and how we help families. But you know, we kind of pick up where they leave off. We consider them one of our team members. We help with, you know, the people and the property and the you know, planning and prevention side of probate. So the attorney is going to tell you got to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, X, all those things that are in that mental list of yours. They tell you to go do it, but there's really no support. Until we built this team, there wasn't really any support in the community to help deliver on all those things. So ideally, I mean, what our focus is to minimize the stress and maximize the equity for every family we can every month. And that's why we reach out. Sometimes people are offended. Sometimes people take a sigh of relief and hand us everything, and we just do it for them. But it really starts with us understanding your situation, your limitations. Like, a lot of folks are COVID sensitive and don't want to come out right now. And we have solutions in place for that too. We can deal with everything, or we can help you with a few little things and just, you know, you just know that we always have your back. So one of the biggest challenges we see most people struggle with on the front end is, what the heck do you do with the real estate? How do you, especially coming into wintertime, there's no money in the estate to pay the heating bills, how do you get that winterized? How do you secure it? So is there any real estate in the estate? And do you guys have a plan for it so far?
Yeah, but yeah, forgive me. I told you I got a realtor coming soon. I told you I got an attorney. What can you do for me, and what's going to cost? Let me just get down to it. What's this all about?
I don't know. I mean, if you're okay with me asking a few more questions, then I can understand your situation. And
yeah, but what attorney? Are you a realtor? Are you an investor? What are you? I don't understand. I didn't read your letter. I'm sorry. I told you my wife threw everything.
No, you got the better version. You got me on the phone. So I would explain myself as a social entrepreneur. So we have multiple businesses. I can get paid as a realtor. I can get paid as an investor. I can paint houses. I can pressure wash. It really just, it's I don't usually do those things. But it starts with, we are a clearinghouse. So we have a single vertically integrated solution where you can make one phone call and all of those pieces that you're having trouble managing can be in one single relationship. So I have a real estate license. I buy houses. I write loans. I work with social workers. I work with nursing homes. I work with senior moving companies. So you can kind of think of us as a concierge, but that picks up where the attorney leaves off and takes away that stressful feeling that I hear in your voice. But if we don't slow down and I can't understand your situation, I don't just have a menu of things to hand you and say, pick one. We usually try to meet with the families and understand it, because this is important and it's stressful and you need to know that you can trust me. So I would prefer, call me old fashioned, but I would prefer to look you in the eye and let you know that I'm real and I'm not going to rob you or take advantage of you. And I'll never ask you for a dime unless I've done exactly what I promised.
Super. So can I end the role play and then kind of give you some questions and responses to that, and then eventually go to my question that I was going to ask? Is that okay? That was great. And I want to, is that all right with you?
Yeah, that's good.
All right. So I love that phrase, social entrepreneur. You know, that was what I was looking, because like if I was putting myself in that person's shoes, they're feeling tenseness in their chest and they're like stressed out. And as soon as you said that, mm-hmm. my chest opened up. I felt warm. You know, I was like, hey, you know what? I respect that this guy wants to make money, and I respect that he's kind of saying, hey, this is, I'm marrying the two. I'm doing these services. When you also said that question about, hey, you want this something about the last time you want to be an administrator, that was a very great round, like ice-breaking phrase. So I'm like taking notes, and I think those are the golden nuggets. So I want to thank you for them. The other thing is, you know, from where I'm at and with the kind of speed things go, when you said you were about like, look, I don't want to necessarily, you know, give you this, like, I forget the word you used. I couldn't write a shopping list or a laundry list or whatever it was about all the things you do. I'm going to say that was brilliant. I would, and what I was kind of trying to get at is like, at least people I talk to, that's where you lead. It's like, this is why I'm calling, because I'm a social entrepreneur. I can offer you all these things. I'd like to meet you in person and then go on to that speech. But I kind of like, you immediately said, wow, you do all these things, as opposed to I'm into the conversation 5 minutes and I still don't know what you do. And I've gotten, you know, 20 letters from investors. I buy cash and I just, you know, I don't, and people calling me or skip tracing me. And I'm like, you know, I may be in an emotional state of anger or pissed off.
Yeah.
So I think that you coming out at people and saying, you don't need to get pissed off at me because I'm a social entrepreneur. I do all these things. And some of them I'm just referring. I don't make no money. I'm here to provide you a service. And then say, and here's what's in it for you. If you can do me something, I'd love to meet you in person, go over this, and then, you know, go into more stuff. But now here's something I'd like to ask you. Oh, before any comments with what I said, right or wrong?
Well, great feedback, and I'm glad you gave value from all that. One, I want to tell you a story that from it might not be in your backyard, but from a very, very fast-paced environment. We had a kid who's 26 years old, had a state license for 16 days, and he says, I want to be a lead agent in Midtown Manhattan. So, swinging for the fence, son, right? So, he signed up for this program. All he did was the minimum that we teach, the methodology that we're talking about here today. Between July and December, his first 6 months in the business, he did $750,000 in listing commission only in Midtown Manhattan. He learned to engage with them. He learned to slow them down. He learned to focus on people and situation. And he kicked every new agent's ass in that market. And that's one of the most fiercely competitive old blood markets there is in the country. And it's fast, fast, fast paced. So that's like, I have lots of proof that this works even in really high strung, fast paced, aggressive environments. And I just ask that you trust the methodology because it's been tested in every single county in the country.
Well, that's fantastic. I totally trust it. That's a phenomenal testimonial. I was just, I was an associate broker in Manhattan many years ago. All I did was rentals. And yeah, it's not only fast paced, but it's cutthroat. And not amongst your competitors, even amongst your own people. My boss would steal my commissions and steal my clients. So it's like,
I'm in New York, baby.
I actually literally had a fist fight with him. Office manager had to pull us apart. You know, one of those, hey, did you ever find something? Oh, yeah, you mean Dave didn't tell you? I heard you were gone for the day. And he said, no problem. I filled out everything and gave him the commission. And I find this out like a week later. I was like, this is the bad people. Greedy, don't care. And that's fantastic. And yeah, like what you're providing with this is so unique because everyone's coming from it. I, you know, what's in it for them when you, and that's kind of why I was saying, if you, and now, mind you, I trust you and I'm going to learn the right way and do it how you say, but I wanted to say that it's so relieving to hear somebody say, hey, I'm providing you a service. Not you're a service to me, give me your money, but I'm providing you a smorgasbord of services to help you in your time of, and your family in time of need. I love it. So now I got a question for you regarding it kind of.
I want you to write something down to summarize this whole point and how you feel right now.
Yeah.
Altruism is the best differentiator in a selfish industry. And that summarizes everything we talk about here. Like being altruistic and actually caring, having empathy and compassion will make sure that you never have competition because so few people have that quality in business.
I can't agree with you more, and I live that. I flip houses, and I try to set myself apart from being the only guy with as many video testimonials from the sellers I serve than anybody. And that's
awesome.
Kind of and to where they're saying things I couldn't have scripted it better. When they say I treat them like family, when there's like in addition to the great closers, all I had to do was show up and get my check. He did everything for me. So that's kind of what attracted me to you, because that's how I am, right? And I want to do that, but on a bigger scale and a bigger level, focused within the probate need. And so my question to you is, when you were kind of wishing that you can get in front of them, if you are already someone who's got very touching, moving, and inspired video testimonials and can prove that you're separate from other people, would you lead or ever mention that? Would you mention, go to my website or go to my YouTube channel? Or would you be like doing everything you can to not have them go get distracted, even if that's the proof that they need that this is a separate, this is a different, unique individual?
No, I would encourage you. So very few people take full advantage of that. And the fact that you've done it is puts you way ahead of most people already. So you definitely want to leverage that. If I were you, I would build a page on your website where you compile all of that and then go buy a very simple domain and redirect it to that page. And make sure it's something that a 75-year-old lady that has poor eyesight can type in on her phone when she's reading the PS line of your letter, because it's going to say, PS, I know some of this might sound too good to be true. Lots of folks we've helped lots of folks in this community already. Ask them what they think of us. Go to, probatetestimonial.com. And make it very simple and have them land on that page, and it just gives you social proof. Like it shows that you're not full of it. You actually have that proof. And so I would highlight it. I definitely wouldn't hide from it. I would put it out front and make it easy for them to access, because what I find, even without that strong of a PS line, like the PS line I typically use is PS, if you're not ready to talk to somebody just yet, go to probate.com to check out, all the ways we can help. What you find is on the day your mail hits, usually between like 1 and 3 o'clock, you'll get 60% of your list will be on the website that day. And you can tell by Google Analytics or WordPress Jetpack. So that PS line is powerful. And the letter is very different anyways. Like it's not a typical We Buy Houses letter. And based on this conversation, I would encourage you, there is a letter in the Mailbox Motivator portal called, I think it's called the Social Enterprise Letter. And it's a two-sided letter. And the whole front is very people focused, and the whole back is very real estate, very service and real estate focused. But I think you're going to identify with that letter. And if I were you, I would work your testimonials into that letter in a PS line, but definitely don't hide from it. Put it out front and be proud of it.
I think that's great. I appreciate it. The one of the questions I had was, I know a lot of people get the phone numbers and then they physically call. Do you have any problems with ringless voicemail?
I had really good luck with it, but it's becoming, there are a lot of attorneys out there looking for class action suits. So to me, it's more liability than it's worth now. But I did have very
too busy though, to be honest with you. They're like good. They're so in my neck of the woods. They're swamped, overwhelming.
Yeah.
I don't think this is
effective. Well, just under, all I would say is it's very effective, but make sure you understand your risk and you understand, like, read the TCPA, the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. read it, and you'll see that every RVM is in direct violation of TCPA unless you have explicit written consent in the last 90 days or an existing business relationship. If one person can show that phone call and if it was a recorded message, like if they answer and hear it and you weren't on the other end of the line, they forward that to an attorney. The attorney sends you a letter and says, we filed a suit. We intend to make this a class. So we're going to subpoena your call records for the last 10 years. And then you understand if I get into a deposition on this, he's going to slaughter me. So they shake you down for a settlement. The whole thing usually only lasts a week or so. They're not looking to take you to court. Litigation sucks, even for attorneys. What they're looking to do is shake you down for a quick settlement.
Right, right. Okay. And if you were to dare to move forward with that, who would you use for that? Would it be like what's some of the ones that you've had success with?
So I preferred to use VoiceLogic, but they actually had an attorney get through their hold harmless. So instead of doing ringless voicemail, they created a new product called Voicemail Courier. And if you go to voicelogic.com/all the leads or /ATL, I think either one will work. You'll be able to see the products that they offer at the special pricing they offer for our subscribers. And I think it's 85 cents. It's more expensive than ringless voicemail, and you know, before you get caught or you find yourself in a lawsuit. But it is 100% compliant. They're using Toronto-based callers with really no accents, and they're placing a live call, and 20% of the time people pick up and they say, hey, I've got a message from Mike. He'd like me to play it. Can you stay on the line? And shockingly, 93% of the time, they stay on until the end of the message. The live answers stay. And then the others drop just like ringless voicemail. But it was they can prove through records, if they get audited, they can prove that a live person made that call and left that voicemail.
Oh, that's beautiful. Very, you know, those who want to avoid legal trouble, it sounds like it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
That's another great service you're providing, and I deeply appreciate it. If you think of everything, seems like the do you have a script as to what that recording would say?
I mean, I try to keep them as brief as possible. I've made the mistake. I've probably tested and tracked 24 different voicemails. The one that always had the best callback rate for me was, hey, this is Chad. I sent you a letter last week. Just wanted to make sure you got that and you understood why we sent it. Give me a shout when you have a chance. 555-1234.
And knowing my situation, leave that URL with the videos or whatever, that like probate, you know, the probatetestimonial.com, if you were me.
Test it. And I would build that into, if I were going to leave it on a voicemail, I would build that into a more robust page. And it would almost be like a long sales letter type format with a bold headline that really differentiated me, some copy introducing my service, then the testimonials, then more copy about the services we provide, and a call to action. So I would say something like, hey, this is Chad. I met with the county clerk last week to find out which families are going through probate. I found out your family was one of them. I know this is going to sound too good to be true, so I'm just going to make it really simple. If you go to probateservices.com, you'll see what we do. And, you know, when you're ready, give us a call. I just wanted to let you know we're here in the community.
Really?
So the call to action, like, I'm not even going to leave a phone number. And that's how I would test that. And then I would look at Google Analytics and see how many page entries you had, what your drop rate was, and then test different calls to action. The call to action could be call us today, fill out this form, download our free probate checklist. You could test different calls to action, but you could use your voicemail to get traffic to your website. Now, here is where this gets interesting. If that works, you get them to the website, you sit down with an attorney and design a probate checklist, make it into a PDF, put the attorney's information on the bottom. You provide value to them because you get them around an anti-solicitation loophole. So they are happy to provide that for you. So you have literally a local checklist from an attorney in your county. On the website, you have a call to action. You know, download the Bergen County, New Jersey probate checklist written by local attorney John Doe. Drop your email here, or drop your cell phone, like do email cell phone. Once you get that, the terms and conditions in that form submission will have the language that says you are opting in to be contacted by ringless voicemail, text message, you know, live call, whatever. make it an all-inclusive opt-in. Then, so you're leaving that vague message, you're getting them to the website, you're giving them something of value, and now you have a legal opt-in. So you can send ringless voicemail, you can text blast them, you can do whatever the hell you want, because you have the consent within the last 90 days.
Chad, you just built my whole business in this 5-minute conversation.
We aim to please.
You do please. God bless you.
Rich, it was way more than 5 minutes, but it was a great way to end our call. If you have more you want to talk about, because we're way over today on time, we try to respect everybody's time, but come back tomorrow. Our mastermind call is 1 o'clock tomorrow. We can continue the conversation. And as always, if you need us between calls, just reach out to us directly. Fair enough? Thank you. Hey, guys, great call. Great turnout. Incredibly good content. I want to thank each of you for being here. I want to thank y'all that actively participated. I want to challenge each of you, take one thing you heard on today's call that inspired you, go out and put it into action, and come back any Thursday at 1 o'clock Eastern and discuss the results. We will talk to you tomorrow afternoon. Make it a great day. Stay healthy, stay productive, and we'll talk to you soon, guys. Take care.